These are a couple of harsh passages we have read. There is not a lot of hope in these passages. And if you read the rest of the book of Ruth, and I encourage you to do so, maybe that will be our Lenten reading, because it is at least slightly more cheerful than Lamentations, then you will find these things. But if you do so this week, if you read Ruth this week, I just want you to know one thing. As Freud famously said, a pipe is never just a pipe. Feet are never just feet. So keep that in mind if you read Ruth. I have received some feedback from my Song of Solomon sermon in August that perhaps we were not ready for another sex sermon, and so we're not going to have one. But feet are never just feet. Now onto the text that is in front of us. So there are a couple of things to pull out here. First is this story that Naomi is saying, these warnings. Will there be sons again in my womb? Does anyone know why she is bringing this up? Okay. Rich Pleva, who normally answers these questions, has been working for the past 10 days straight, and so he's not here today. But the reason is there's tradition in ancient Israelite law, and you can read this if you want to. I would not necessarily recommending reading the legal codes in the Bible unless you have a lot of time. But it is, if a man dies, his wife marries his brother. And as you might imagine, as we talked about earlier, this is a method of protection. So she is accepted into this man's household, into his family, and she is protected by the family. And so what Naomi is saying here is, if you're staying with me, I would need to have another son and have that son grow up to be an age he could marry you. And do you really want to go 18 years or 16 years before that happens? And so she's saying, look, there is no hope for you in my family. There is no hope for you where we are. But Ruth stays with her. And this is part of the story of Ruth. We've been looking at the stories these past several weeks, the stories of God interacting with people in the Old Testament. And we summarize that story, that God has been an active presence in all but in the Ten Commandments, and even those were received from God in a slightly altered form by Moses. And so up until now, the story has been the story of God with God's people. And this story is slightly different. This story is a story in which God has not yet appeared, and God will not appear in a prophetic way, not speaking directly to these people. So the story of Ruth, we have a little bit of a different take on. It plays a slightly different role in the story of the Old Testament. And as I said, it is important that this is right after the book of Judges, because the end of the book of Judges says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes." And then we get to the name Elimelech. Can you say that with me? Elimelech? Now, we have for the past 2 weeks been remembering our poor intermediate Hebrew student, Nathan, who suffered so much in all the language that he was delighted when he saw God say, "When I brought you up out of Egypt." And the intermediate student, Hebrew student, Nathan, comes back again because there are some things he still remembers, and one is that El means God and Melech means king. Elimelech is a statement of faith. God is my king. And so right after this book of Judges, where we say there is no king in Israel, where God is supposed to be king, we have this man Elimelech who says God is my king in his name, and he flees from Israel into Moab. And that is a part of the story. We saw Joseph and his brothers flee the famine into Egypt. Now Elimelech is seeking succor in Moab. But there's something else that seems a little bit important about this story and the role that it plays in the Old Testament. Elimelech is from Bethlehem in Judah. Have you heard that phrase before, Bethlehem in Judah? Anyone? Who else is from Bethlehem in Judah? Louder. Jesus. Jesus is from Bethlehem in Judah. And so we see, as we've been going through this story of God and creation, we are now connecting to the arc that we as Christians have, that Jesus also is from Bethlehem in Judah. And if you are the kind of person who enjoys reading lineages, you can turn to the first chapter of Matthew and you can see right in that lineage, Ruth, right here. And so this story connects. We have this story not of God creating a people, but now of the people that will be created and will eventually come to Jesus. Now, the reason it's in this story, because this story is written down long before Jesus' time, is that also in Jesus' lineage is King David. And that will come up in a couple of weeks. But that is the reason that we are here. We are saying, who are the kinds of people that we want to rule us? Who are the kinds of people, the families they come from, that tell us who is Lord and what is it about their lives that we may learn from? For there are a number of things that we read in the Old Testament that maybe we don't know what to do with. You know, there are these stories of God laying waste to thousands of people. There are terrible things that happen to Assyrians and to the Philistines, and we look at that and say, is that how we are supposed to act? But this is not that kind of story. This is a different kind of story. This is the kind of story about how people are supposed to be. And the thing that I see in this story that is so important is that Ruth, this model, this ancestor of kings and of gods, this Ruth says, I will not let someone think that they are all alone. I will not let someone look at the world and say, there is no place for me in it. I will not let someone look at the world and say, it is better that I die and relieve people of the burden. Act 2. So, we have now this story. We've been telling a narration, it's a narrative lectionary. And we've told the story of creation, and now we're starting to get into what it means to live out God's promises. We saw that the judges did not grow, the time of judges, they did not grow in love of God and love of neighbor, so there needed to be a correction. And here we have the correction in Ruth, the beginning of the correction to say, even if you have to go out of the country to find strangers, to find people who live up to the promise that we ourselves made, they are out there. They may not look the way you expect them to look. They may speak a different language. They may worship a different God, but they are out there. And that is where Ruth came into this story. And so we are on the verge of doing strategic planning in this church, trying to find out how it is we may live out our promise to care within and live beyond and serve beyond this church. And we look around our stories and we wonder, are there people in our church who have felt the way Ruth does, who have felt that they are all alone, that they have people they need to protect but no one to protect them? 6 months ago, I would have been confident that we had people in this church who felt that way. There are people now missing who have that story in their past. I'm sure there are others, too, who have felt like that at some point in their life. And as we do our strategic planning, as we think about what the future might bring, as we prepare our own stewardship offerings, this is the question for us. How is it we may be like Ruth and reach out to people in our congregation who may be suffering and alone? How is it we may be like Ruth and look outside as well and see who is a part of our broader family that we may love and serve and who are alone? You know, one of my great regrets is that I cannot find enough time in the week to visit all of the people I need to visit. You know, what with being in the office in the mornings, and then on Tuesday and Thursday, I've got pickup for the kids, and then I need to do my sermon prep at some other time as well and do that. I wind up having Wednesday afternoons unless there's a meeting or unless I'm sick, because I don't want to go over to Mill Pond, you know, with a petri dish of elementary school germs, right? Yes, that's not being a good neighbor. That is not loving your neighbor. And so I can't make all the visits I want to visit. And so there are people in this church who do, you know, especially Laura and Clarice. But also I know because sometimes I get to the hospital and someone tells me, oh yes, Jane was just here visiting. Or I get to the hospital and Becky is gone with Rami this morning, but Becky was here and visiting with me. So the question is, how do we live like Ruth in our strategic plan? How do we plan so that we may grow and guarantee that the people in this church, when they suffer, have someone to come to them? When I was at the Y Christian Conference in Minneapolis, Nadia Bowles Weber famously said, and as a line she uses a lot, "Why am I a Christian? Because when your mother dies, your yoga class does not show up on your doorstep with casseroles. For that, you need a church." And that is a thing we can do in this place, and that is a thing that we can focus on and say, how can we serve our people in this church? How can we care for them within? What does it mean? We say these words. What does it look like for us to live them? What does it look like for us to say, like Ruth, I will be there for you? And what does it mean to say, to take that to the next level and say, there are other people in our community too who have no church families and have no yoga classes and so need a community as well and need people to serve them? There are programs, the Stephen Ministry Program. There are programs in the UCC, a thing called Called to Care, where we get together and we are trained in how to sit with people and speak about faith matters and talk and get beyond that first response, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? Oh, you don't have to worry about me. Ruth is asking, what can I do for you? Naomi is saying, oh, I'm fine, don't worry about me. But she is not fine. And so Ruth, perhaps having gone through this training in some early form, says, no, I think I need to sit with you a little bit longer and see what you have to say. This is part of our mission as Christians. This is the lesson we draw from Ruth. This is why we are proud that Ruth is a descendant of, is an ancestor of David and of Jesus. This is the message, a strong, independent woman, someone who was not part of this God, but had faith in this God, and through this God, loved her mother-in-law and said, I will not leave you alone, even if it means that I will not be married and not have that protection. So as we think together what our future will be, think about Ruth, think about caring, think about service, and think about this person, the ancestor of Jesus Christ. Amen.